March has arrived and we are only weeks away from the big tournament. Yes, that tournament. Make sure you head to BetOnline and open an account today to get in on their $100,000 Bracket Madness contest starting on March 15th. And remember, the NBA and XFL are still going strong, so whatever your passion is, BetOnline is the place to be for all of your betting needs. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for your 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 410. Today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. You just heard them. Go to betonline.ag for a 50% sign-up bonus using code BLUEWIRE. And we're also brought to you by UNTUCKIT. Use code BLUEWIRE at untuckit.com for 20% off your first order. Scott, I'm kicking this episode off with a question to you immediately. Are the Yankees cursed?
It's damn close, man. Something's going on here. They need to sacrifice a goat or, you know, bring in something and destroy it so that we can get rid of this. I don't know, man. I don't know what's happening with these doctors and why they're not identifying things because it's getting ridiculous. The fact that, we're seeing
four players
that go back to last year
that date back to 2019 injuries are now out for.
And these are not injuries.
Some periods of time in 2020, you know, Hicks is out for at least half the season. Maybe Judge is back.
You're counting Hicks on this. We already knew that. Okay, so three new injuries.
That's the four players.
I got you. Three new injuries though that have surfaced since the end of last
back.
Year.
Yep. Severino, his Tommy John, and just they didn't deal with it in October when he was apparently feeling discomfort, and now Judge, who on a dive in September heard a crack and a pop, and here we are in March, and they're like, oh yeah, I guess you did fracture a rib. It's just friggin' ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, man. Like, the fact that I know they give MRIs constantly, lots of MRIs, a whole bunch of MRIs. You know, let's break out some other things. Let's take some different pictures and see what happens. It's wild. It's really crazy. Wait,
like with an iPhone or something?
Yeah, an iPhone. I'm sure there's an app that can zoom through, give a little x-ray vision. I don't know, maybe an x-ray that looks at bones specifically. You know, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, doctor things, medical things.
4 weeks in a row, we're just focused on new injuries that are affecting the 2020 squad where we're already not off to the roster we thought we were going to go into.
We're not even close to the roster we thought we were going into.
Nope.
It's not.
No, it's just one thing after
even
the
close.
Other.
Miguel Andujar is very possibly a starting outfielder.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. Just a few housekeeping items. We are knocking at the door of spring training. Damn, did that come up fast. And opening day is going to be here before you know it. March 14th weekend, which is this coming weekend, we're in Tampa. And we have two sponsors for the weekend we're very excited about. We've mentioned Sailor Jerry, their Savage Apple Rum. We're going to be doing some things for them, and they are hosting an after party for us on Saturday, March 14th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Yard of Ale in Soho in Tampa. Go to our social channels. You can find out information about that. There's image with the address and all that kind of stuff. Even if you don't have a ticket to the event on Saturday, you can come show up. We're going to have a batting cage in the parking lot, smashing apples. There's going to be drink specials. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. And we are also going to be sponsored that weekend by Blue Point Pinstripe Pilsner, which is one of my favorite beers to drink at a baseball game. Very excited about that connection. We've been working with them, talking to them for a while now. So I'm excited that we have something firm for spring training. More information on both of those sponsorships to come in the next week or 2 weeks.
And Blue Point was the one that actually had they sponsored one of our pregame parties at Billy's before one of our last events too. So I know everybody who's listening has definitely been introduced to them. The cans that they sell at the stadium are now for sale outside the stadium in the tri-state area and down into Philly. And I believe down in the Tampa area, I know that they're at at the Big Stein down in Tampa. I'm not sure if they're sold outside there, but you could definitely get those cans.
The Big Stein, is that a nickname for Steinbrenner Field?
Yeah, I feel like I've called it that a few times. I like it. It's the Big Stein. Feels good. Feels right.
You see our guy Ken tagging us in a pinstripe pilsner.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Picture last night. Yeah. He's already getting into the spirit.
He's got some cans sitting at home. I know that.
Our events are all up on the website, but I'm just going to tell you about May 9th. That is against the Red Sox. It's our first regular season big event at Yankee Stadium. It's a 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon game. No excuse not to come. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. Even though the Red Sox are a dumpster fire, the Yankees, injury wise are not much better, but they're going to be a better team than the Red Sox this year.
Hopefully. Knock on wood.
All right. So the Yankees and their just entire handling of injuries is getting out of hand. It's out of control. You mentioned the stuff they didn't catch all winter, but just their communication about the injuries is extremely frustrating, because up until the news on Friday that Judge has a fractured rib, it was, it's his pec muscle. No, it's his shoulder. Judge is saying one thing. Cashman is saying a different thing. Boone's saying it's not that serious. Cashman's saying he's gone through 7 to 10 tests and things are inconclusive. It just to me seems there's different narratives coming from different prominent members of the organization about one of their most important players and if he's injured or if he's not injured. And it's extremely frustrating, and I don't get why it has to be this way.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it's pretty clear that they didn't know what the hell was wrong with him. That's number one.
That's a big problem.
Because when you have we were talking about the injury, and I was doing some wet, dry hump and swings not in the water.
I'm just swinging,
and you could tell that when you just put your arm back, even when you throw, you could feel a stretch in your pectoral muscle, right? And I don't know if you've ever had a strained pectoral muscle from lifting or whatever. Like, a lot of the injuries, like small injuries that you get in that area, can feel very similar, right? Like, so if you have a cracked rib or you have a strain in there, a lot of times that can feel similar. Like, you have chest pain, it hurts, or there's an uncomfortable thing. My thing is, we understand that. Like, people understand that on a layman's term basis. Like, on a daily basis, if you do something, you kind of understand what's going on in there. Like, that it could be something else. Why is it that the medical staff of the New York freaking Yankees can't go in there and not just take the guy's word for it, or like, hey, point and touch and whatever? I was reading an NJ.com article about this where they really were harping on the whole crack and pop thing, the pop and a crack. They must have mentioned it 15 times in the article. And you're thinking about that. That's a pop and a crack, right? One says, oh, maybe there's something broken. And the other one says, oh, maybe something is strained or pulled or whatever. It sounds like two things happened. If the person tells you that there was a crack and a pop, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do all sorts of different testing to find out what's going on. If the New York Yankees can't look into the medical devices that they have and find out what is actually happening when the player says, yep, I felt a crack and a pop, and you don't look for a crack in anything? Like, what are we doing here? It's just like they're putting too much onus on these guys, telling them that they're okay or that it doesn't hurt as much or whatever it is. Stop believing anything that they're saying.
But in this case, they didn't listen to Judge, because I read that NJ article too. So the apparent injury stems from a dive Judge made on September 18th of last year against the Angels. He dove headfirst on a bloop by Albert Pujols.
Yeah, I remember the play now that I heard it.
I did too. And we got news after the game, like, Judge felt a little sore from it, but he didn't really miss much time. He may have sat a game or two, but he was back for September, played in the playoffs, was okay in the playoffs, not great. But what I was reading also on Sports MD, and they talked about what a fractured rib means for an athlete.
Sports MD?
SportsMD.com.
Yeah, I think I own that.
Are you the author?
I think I put something up there. Yeah, yeah.
So they said a non-surgical treatment requires 4 to 6 weeks of no throwing, no weightlifting, just rest.
Yep.
And if that is the case, and it really did happen on September 18th, well, obviously Judge didn't do that because he started playing again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't even rest in the winter. He was doing baseball activities. He was weightlifting. He was in the gym. He was training because the Yankees medical staff did tests on him and said, you're fine. So Judge,
and he said he felt
fine.
He thought it was healed. Those were his words talking about this.
So it could have healed by him just shutting it down for November and December and then coming back in January and doing things normally again. Instead, he didn't do that. He was working out all offseason, and then he was taking batting practice leading up to spring training. Because do you remember when he was shut down, he said, well, I've been taking swings for
for a while.
Now.
He's been working out.
And now it's sore. It's because it never healed.
It never healed properly and probably came back, yeah.
So maybe it healed 90%. Or 95%.
And they got re-aggravated.
So it was just a matter of time until it got re-aggravated. And the frustrating thing is, like we said, this is now the third instance of an injury happening last September or October. And the Yankees staff not doing the proper thing. I understand everybody's different. I got shit on Twitter for complaining about Paxton's injury and how the Yankees waited so long to do the back surgery. And everyone who's ever had back surgery coming out of the woodwork telling me, this isn't how it works. This is what my doctor prescribed me. I get it. But now this is a pattern with the Yankees medical staff, right? We have a pattern of them messing this stuff up.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, there's... You can't deny it. You cannot deny it. There's no more giving the benefit of the doubt for a lot of these guys because they've either misdiagnosed or just missed. I mean, it goes back to even when Severino had the, his injury and started
last March
and started a throwing program. Well, I mean, after that, though, when he was coming back, started a throwing program and.
Oh, and they didn't do an MRI.
And they didn't do an MRI before the throwing program. And he's like, oh.
Although the MRI wouldn't have caught anything, though, because their MRIs never catch anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably true. Maybe that was it. They're like, you know, what's the difference? Let's just try it anyway. But yeah, so it's like they've led their guys into waters that are just murky and very unclear about what's happening with their own bodies and is the recovery completed or do I need to stay off of whatever we're doing for a little bit longer? You know, if he comes back into the Tampa facilities at that point, like I understand you're not going to be able to have a watchful eye on him at all times when he's in the offseason in California doing his thing and whatnot. You can have a communication. There can definitely be a communication line. But when you get back, how about we just do that, you know, the CSI, like that they were doing on Tanaka for the little UCL tear. We heard about CSI Bronx. How about we just do that on every guy when they come into the facility? I don't care if we knew of an injury or thought there was an injury. Let's just check them up and down, head to toe, MRIs, X-rays. Let's inject them with some dye. Let's do whatever we gotta do.
That's inflammatory. You can't do that.
Well, you know, let's figure it out. Maybe they come in a week early. Let's just figure this stuff out. Maybe we get a couple other doctors in there to take a look at the pictures. Who knows? Go crazy. I mean, they got to have a failsafe. They got to start covering their asses a little bit and actually seeing some other, another opinion. I don't know what it is because it's getting absolutely ridiculous. And this is a franchise guy. They put a freaking section of this guy in right field and nothing's gone great since then. Let's talk about that for a minute. But, you know, how about we treat it with kid gloves a little bit?
Yeah, injuries. Getting upset over guys getting injured is a little foolish because, I mean, in Judge's case, some of his injuries have been a freak accident. He got hit by a pitch in 2018 and fractured his wrist. That's not Judge's fault. That's just, that shit happens, right?
Him diving for a ball. I remember that play and being like, oh, why did you even have to dive for that ball?
But then he was diving for balls in the playoffs too.
But that's the thing. With him, the type of dive, like those types of dive will take a toll on him.
No, but okay, you got to catch 22 then because that's the type of player Judge is.
I understand that.
He's going to make the diving catch in right field because he's an elite defensive right fielder. And that's what makes Judge great. That's what I love about Aaron Judge. He's not a one-trick pony. He's an all-around great player.
But at some point, he's going to, and that point is now, he's going to have to start making some decisions where his body's going to have to take the first priority as far as not making unnecessary dives.
That's so difficult.
I get it. It's hard to do.
Like, but you have a mentality. He's running into walls. He's trying to. That's how he hurt his shoulder started his shoulder injury in 2017, running into the right field wall.
That Pujols.
Everyone's talking about the home run derby, but it was maybe the home run derby didn't help it. Definitely didn't help it.
It wasn't the injury.
But it started. Yeah. It started because he slammed into the wall, because he's going to do that type of play.
Right. And the way that his body is built, he's going to be more prone to those injuries. And when they happen and when they occur, like this one, they're going to take longer to heal. Bigger body guys, it just happens that way. It's sometimes longer. I remember people yelling at me about this. Well, it doesn't matter if he's 6'2 or 6 whatever. It does, actually. It's just there's more weight, there's more impact, there's more friction. There's just a lot more stuff that happens with a type of guy like this when he there's just a lot more behind it. This one, look, he's going to have to start playing a little bit smarter in the way that he does in the outfield. I'm sorry, but it's a reality of the situation. You see like the guys like Mike Trout, right? They don't want him being hurt, so he steals less bases. It's part of the thing to keep you on the field. At some
load
point,
load management, right?
Not even load management. Load management is just sitting, just being, this is whiny NBA phrase. You just gotta be smarter about more calculated in the risks that you take for going after balls like that.
Yeah, but it's also like we talked about with Gary Sanchez and Hustlegate. Do you want Gary Sanchez busting it out of the box for a ground ball to shortstop that you know he's not going to beat out if he's going to maybe pull a quad muscle?
Okay, pulling a quad muscle and then impact for diving are two very different things.
I know.
Okay, I don't want less effort. I want max effort, but you know, if you're going to have to fully dive and lay out for a ball in the fifth inning in a game in June or an Albert Pujols single that's in front of you, maybe we don't do that.
I'm going to try and finish my thought that I started. So some guys can go out there and dive for every ball and run into every wall, and they're not going to get really injured. They're going to be able to stay out there and play a full season because their bodies can handle it. Other guys, Judge maybe one of those guys, are going to get injured. And everyone's body's different. Every player's different. I get that. So getting mad about a specific player getting injured is a little bit foolish as a fan. But what I think is justified to get upset over, especially after all the stuff we've gone through over the last 2 years with this medical staff, is their inability seemingly to handle it in the correct manner, in an efficient manner. I think that is a really fair criticism
of
the medical staff.
Of course it is.
At this point. One of them you can say, okay, well, they just missed this. Two of them you're like, oh, that's annoying. But it's like every freaking injury is like this. And it's always these wishy-washy sort of comments by Boone and Cashman. Oh, Boone's over here saying, I don't think it's that serious. I'm not ruling out Aaron Judge for opening day. I'm not ruling out Giancarlo Stanton for opening day. Neither are going to be ready for opening day. Judge is shut down for 2 weeks. Okay. His rib didn't really heal the entire offseason. What the hell is 2 weeks of rest going to do?
That's what I'm saying.
He's not going to be okay to come back in 2 weeks. So what are they even telling us 2 weeks for? What is that bullshit they're talking about?
Well, what they're talking about is that there's going to be a reassessment in 2 weeks so that they're going to look at and take
reassess
more pictures.
If he can continue.
No, what they're doing is they're going to look to take pictures to see if the healing, if it is actually occurring. So from what they are saying, there's a number of things that they're saying. And by the way, you're talking about mixed messages coming out of the camp. Well, probably because there's some mixed information coming out of the medical staff camp as well. And that there's unclear, an unclear result for what's going to happen. So what I understand was happening after reading everything and hearing people talk is that this is an injury that can heal on its own. So far, it has gotten to a point where they think it has started to heal. And from what Aaron Judge is saying, it's feeling better. It's starting to heal. So I think what they want to see now is they want to see in this two-week span, they have pictures of it on day one, and they want to see what pictures look like on day 14 or whatever that day is. And if we could see some progression in the healing of said injury in that time, then they can make a more, again, this is me totally speculating just because it's trying to use common sense and what would make sense. At that point, they will say, okay, it is starting to heal, and we probably need X time for it to come back. Do I think he's going to be ready to resume baseball activities in 2 weeks? No, I do not. I think that they're going to be able to have a more clear understanding of what's happening with this injury now that they believe that it is starting to heal again. So either it changes or it doesn't change. And if it doesn't change, guess what that means? Surgery. If it doesn't change enough for them to be comfortable with it, guess what that means? Surgery. I don't even know what that surgery looks like. Is it some kind of fusion? I have no idea.
No, I think they removed the rib.
They removed the rib?
I think so.
Okay, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I have no idea. I didn't read what that was. That sounds outrageous. But maybe it's true. Who knows? I think what they have to do is find out where they are in this injury now that they feel like they have a grasp on it. But my question is, if they knew it was healing before, why not take some periodic pictures in the offseason and actually find out what it was doing in the offseason? Because all of this could have been done in November, December, January. Absolutely. I don't care where Judge is. He could go somewhere that's, relatively trusted. He could go to a facility at a college. He could go somewhere where they have, people that they know and trust to take an x-ray. Pretty sure most people could take x-rays just to find out what's going on. That, to me, is where this whole thing was completely mismanaged. Because if you think it is healing, how about we not just guess about that? How about we not just listen to the player? How about we find out by actually looking at real pictures and seeing what is happening with that rib? I mean, to me, that sounds like a very good thing to do when you're talking about your franchise player, especially after all the amount of injuries that we've had in 2019. God forbid we take a little bit more of a path down the down the road of being careful with our guys.
When right after Cashman's comments about he's gone through 7 to 10 tests and there's been no conclusive results on what's wrong, I was in my mind thinking, okay, what's going on here? Is the medical team inept, or is Judge being a pussy? I actually was questioning that. Because if the medical team has done 7 to 10 tests and not figured out the real issue, obviously we know now what the issue was, but at that point there was no issue with Judge that they knew of, and he's just like, oh no, I'm a little sore. Then it's like, okay, well, are you really sore, or is this just something you need to like fight through and get out on the field? And I'm sorry I even questioned Judge, and even in my mind for a second thought he might be a pussy. Because the medical team is inept. I'm comfortable saying the medical team is inept.
Yeah, I just, there's a lot of gaps in the way that they've covered these injuries and the way that they've, at least that we know of. And it just seems like simple stuff. Like, just be a little bit overcautious and take more pictures on a more frequent basis to find out what's going on. I don't think that's a lot to ask for. And I mean, maybe they're not reading them correctly, but that to me is just like, it's unfathomable. Like, I can't get my mind around the fact that these guys don't know how to read these things. So I don't even think it's that. I think there's potentially too many considerations that they're just like either relying on the player to tell them if they feel good or not feel good. They're too reliant on other things rather than actual facts. And to me, an x-ray, coupled with an MRI, now you're dealing with facts. You're looking at actual pictures, and let's time stamp these. Let's look at them at one day and then look at them in 14 days later. And why not do that in the offseason? Doesn't take that much effort.
So, and then to the other outfielder who's not going to be ready for opening day is Stanton.
Both big body guys that...
Yeah, I mean, Stanton's injuries are...
taking longer to heal. I'm afraid that we're going on this path with Judge, though, man. It's like, you start getting these little injuries knick-knack in here, and then they're just going to linger.
But Stanton's injuries are always muscle. Calf muscle. Bicep muscle. It's a quad muscle.
Yeah.
Last October, it was the quad muscle. All last season, it was the bicep muscle and the calf muscle. Now it's his other calf muscle. I mean, the dude is pulling calf muscles, shagging fly balls, but all winter, he can bench press supermodels and pull...
I mean, you don't bench press with your calves.
Pull cars up hills with his teeth, but like he can't shag fly balls. Like, it's unbelievable. And now we got him running on the moon again on the anti-gravity machine. So great. Can Stanton wear like moon boots? Maybe he won't get injured if he's out there in moon boots.
Maybe Elon Musk can talk MLB into having a game on the moon and we'll be good. We go to London and Puerto Rico. Let's go to space.
The Yankees traded for Giancarlo Stanton in 10 years of his contract. That's like, let's just call it a 10-year free agent signing, because again,
fine,
that's essentially what it was.
Just call it a signing. 10 years.
These are supposed to be the good years.
You're right.
They
no, you're
are.
Right, you're right.
When you sign someone for 10 years, we just signed Gerrit Cole for 9 years, and what did we say? Let's get Cy Young caliber seasons in the first 4 to 5 years of that, because those are going to be the good years, and you deal with whatever comes in the last years. That's what we did with Mark Teixeira. That's what we did with CC Sabathia. Everyone you sign for a mega long-term contract, you need to get all of your money's worth in the first half of the deal because players break down. And here we are in going into year three of Giancarlo Stanton. And the first year he did play through injuries. And you have to give him credit for that. Second year, he wasn't on the field at all. And now he's already not on the field to start year three. So these are the good years of Giancarlo Stanton. This is the good year.
Well, I mean, if you look at the good years, yeah, I guess so. But I mean, the guy was unbelievable before he got here. So it's hard to build on those good years that were MVP years. And then you're looking at the longevity.
He had one MVP year. That's fine. No, listen. He was always injured.
He was always injured.
Other than 2017.
Yes.
Always injured.
Yeah, I mean, they're, it's a problem. I don't know what to say about it. Besides the fact that we need to see these guys on the field, or the obviously everything is. It just makes me not want to go to these long term contracts anymore. I've been on camp of not having long term contracts in the past. When you look at certain guys,
but other guys who aren't on long term contracts can't get on the field. I mean, but it's everyone. But what it does, it's everyone on the Yankees.
I understand that, but what it does is it just, you know, it cuts down the time that you're guaranteed for these guys to be there. On you know, you can move on. It seems like these 4 to 6 year deals are the nice little pocket to not have to deal with so many bad years. Can we just? So, I mean, at this point, why have we not re-signed LeMahieu to an extension? I mean, seriously.
So this all leads to because everything is black and white in today's social media society.
X-rays are black and white.
You're either absolutely freaking out. And as Ted Hubbard at T_Hubbard28 asks, when can I officially start losing my shit? So you've got that camp of people freaking out, season's over, fire everyone. And then you have the people who are like, this does not matter. It's only March. Like JJ wrote a blog saying it doesn't matter. Wake me up in October.
Yeah. I mean, basically so what JJ is looking for is like the definitive answer. Like I'll freak out when definitively that happens.
But so my question is, why would anyone have confidence out there that the Yankees can be healthy at any point, fully healthy? Why do we think, oh yeah, let's just get them healthy for October? Who says they're going to be healthy in October? There's just going to be more injuries. New guys might be injured. Guys might be re-injured.
Like, there's no guarantee. You're saying that there's no guarantee to say like, let's rest the guy so that they're ready for later in the group, because when they come back, we could find out that they had a cracked rib the entire time.
Yeah, like who says the medical team's going to get them back on track? Who in their right mind would be confident this team is going to be healthy going into October? I'm not confident.
Someone was tweeting me saying that, you know, and this is one of those doomsday things, but it's over a long period of time. Like in 10 years, what's the narrative going to be about this core of Yankees? Is it going to be about what could have been? And, you know, because these injuries took a toll and steered them at different points in a different direction. And then also we're talking about, you know, the considerations of what the Astros did. Like, is that what's going to be the narrative? And I pray to God not, because there's so much talent on this team. It would be a goddamn shame if they didn't come out, especially now adding a guy like Gerrit Cole. But you see, as soon as one thing comes on, it's like another thing goes, like Severino goes down. Now you don't have your complement that you thought you were going to have as a, you know, ace number two, 1A type guy. So yeah, it's a fair question at this point. I think it's still too early, and even early in spring, where it's not even early in spring, we're getting towards opening day.
Spring training,
we're damn near opening day, but
we're in the middle of spring training.
These are fair questions. I mean, I don't know what to say. I got no answers for it. I wish the Yankees had answers for it.
Yeah, I'm not saying the season's over. I'm not an idiot. I'm not. Even though I'm negative, I'm not sitting here telling you that the 2020 Yankees are doomed. But what I'm telling you is I don't have confidence they're going to be healthy going into October. And last year they won 103 games with the depth in their organization, and that's fantastic. But I don't know if that can happen again.
So here's the thing.
They got a lot of overachievements out of guys. Who says you're going to get that again?
Here's the thing about this goes back to our discussion last week about Andujar. And a lot of the stuff you're basing this whole – it's not an argument, just the way you feel. You base it off of confidence. What the hell is confidence at the end of the day as a fan? Like, for real, what is it? It's nothing. It's air. It's nothing. It's fake. It's a feeling that you have of fakeness.
But confidence in a player to do what you think he can do. And in this sense, we're talking about, do you have confidence in Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge getting on the field for September and October? I don't,
but it doesn't,
because they haven't been able to. There's a history of them not getting on
the field.
But that's
the thing. Like, the confidence from a fan's point of view means absolutely nothing. It means nothing. We just have to look to see what happens on the field. The confidence factor.
Yeah, use history to tell you what. You use historical data to give you some sort of predictive measure of the future. Oh. And injury historical data tells us those guys are going to be injured.
What if we have
October?
A guy that hasn't been injured yet?
What do you mean?
Just has no real history of injury no history of a particular injury.
If you have a guy who's in year 7 of his career, and he has pretty much always played a full season, then you can pretty much say, I think he's going to keep doing
it. What about a guy that's in year 2?
I mean, you got to look at... Well, what are you getting at here?
I'm getting at the fact that Clint Frazier has put on paper that he cannot play the outfield, and I see a history of him not being able to play the outfield, and Andujar doesn't. So I'm wondering where the confidence lies in any of this stuff.
Okay, this conversation last week was more... But it's not like I'm telling you that Clint Frazier is going to go out there and win like defensive player of the year in the outfield, but what I'm telling you is I think he can be a better outfielder than Miguel Andujar can be.
Here's my point. Confidence means absolutely nothing on the field. Nothing for us. It means everything for the players. It means nothing for us. It's just a bunch of bullshit.
I don't like where this is. You're talking. We're having a conversation. People are listening to this in their cars and on their commutes. And we're having. Everybody has confidence. So this is what we're talking about.
I understand.
I know but that what, my confidence in player X means jack shit to them.
What I want between you
and me, we're talking
as a fan. The fact that the confidence factor comes into play for these injuries, which are so crazy, and it has to do with not only the player, but it has to do with the medical staff, it has to do with all these things. Like, you can't even point to one thing and what's wrong. That's what's so wild about it. That's why I'm like, I don't know. I don't have confidence in it. I don't have lack of confidence. I don't even know what the hell it is, because I got no feelings on it. I don't know who's going to screw up. Someone's going to screw up somewhere. And I don't even know where
inside.
It is. I don't know what I'm feeling.
You've gone numb.
Yeah. So it's one of those, like, it's kind of my point. Like, I don't even know what that is. Like, to talk about the confidence of someone staying healthy, like, what is that? I don't know what that is. It's just we've been put in a position where we were beaten down last year. We had guys step up, and that was cool. Like, the fact that the guys were injured wasn't cool, but we had guys step up and show what they were made of, and that was awesome, right? That added some excitement to the year. Do we want to do that every year? Hell no. We go in with a plan for a reason. To me, the confidence comes from a plan and a plan actually like moving forward. When there's injuries, your plans are gone. And, you know, maybe the backup plan is to have this deep team of players that are going to overachieve. But damn, I guess where my confidence has to lie in the new scouting, in the fact that they're choosing these players to do well when other guys step up or when other guys fall off. Like, I don't know. I don't know where to go with my confidence factor on what to think. Because last year, shit hit the fan and they still won 100 games.
Yeah, shit hit the fan and they won 103 games. But what I'm telling you is that was an overachievement.
Maybe. Or maybe it was just good scouting. Maybe they pulled the right levers. You know, I mean, for real, like, that's a real thing. Do you have more confidence in our scouts and our development team? When you consider them or the medical staff, them or the actual starting players, like, where's the confidence lie here? To me, it's like the
they're starting players.
The biggest thing has been player development.
Reason.
So, like, in the last 2 years, player development has won, like, marks above everybody in the Yankees organization.
Yeah, and they picked up guys like Gio Urshela and Luke Voit, who turned into be quality players from other organizations. Those players were not developed through the Yankee system.
No, but they had
an eye for identified. They were identified in other systems as saying, "Okay, I like what that guy can do."
Scouting
and
development.
We think he can do it for us that he wasn't doing for the Indians in Urshela's case, the Cardinals for Voit's case.
The nerds, the scouts, and the player development guys, the ones, the, you know, nerd number two, the cool nerds, they're all working together in tandem. It seems like, and doing a good job.
But when you're saying who's done a better job, the nerds or the medical staff? I mean, it's no question.
Oh yeah, but I'm saying scouting, player development, and nerds in tandem, doing an excellent job. We need some nerds on the medical staff. We need more nerds on the medical staff so we can see what's going on. We need analytics on the doctors.
I think it's important to also distinguish. I had this conversation with someone yesterday on Twitter. They said, well, blame the old medical team that was fired. No, the medical team was not overhauled.
It's the majority of the training staff, yeah.
But that's different.
Oh, yeah, extremely different.
The Cressy performance and all that
he
stuff.
He ain't no doctor.
It's training, so hopefully we don't have all these injuries in the future.
They work together. But they're supposed to work together.
Of course they work together. But the medical staff, the doctors the Yankees employ, the doctors the Yankees send their players to, it's the same. And they're missing these things. And their treatments have not been effective and not been the right diagnosis, prescribed treatments in many cases. Rest for this guy. Well, it turns out he needed surgery, et cetera, down the line. But wait, there's more. Gary Sanchez is going to sit out with a sore back because he caught back-to-back games for the first time. And I'm so scarred, I'm so jarred that in my mind immediately I'm like, okay, in 4 days from now, Boone's going to be like, you know, Gary felt a little something on a swing in the ALCS and he's had a sore back ever since. And we told him, you know, just take it easy in the off season, and here we are.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you ruling that out?
No, of course not. I can't rule that out. It's impossible. My confidence factor is not ruling that out.
Oh, no, you're talking about confidence factor.
Look, man, I don't know what to tell you with these injuries. That one seems like a spring training, like, soreness thing. Let's just hope it's that.
Everything has seemed like Judge's shoulder started out as a spring training fatigue thing.
You're not wrong.
And here we are, and it's a fractured rib. Yep. So Gary Sanchez has a sore back. He might need his foot amputated.
It's possible. He could have done this in Tampa when he was lackadaisically running down the line. It's possible. Yeah, it's all very possible.
So it's like if I don't even
he came know. In great shape. Why? Because he's starving himself. He hasn't been able to eat for a week, for two
and,
months.
And there was an article
Gary Sanchez
in that
is a tapeworm.
Sanchez had a bad game on Friday night in which he allowed a wild pitch and a pass ball.
His back was sore.
Two runs scored, so yeah, and it comes out his back was sore. So, oh boy. So the outfield depth chart, considering Judge and Stanton are going to start on the shelf, this is how I have it, and you can tell me if you disagree. So in right field, I have Frazier and Talkman. So Frazier is the first, Talkman is the second. Center field, Talkman is the first.
It's
Gardner
the same
the
guys.
Second.
It's all the same guys.
That's what a depth chart.
I understand
is.
That, but there's like no real other. There's no other.
But that's what it, no. That's what a depth.
I know, but
is
usually at
I
the
mean?
End of a depth chart, there's like a defensive guy, and there's not that guy doesn't exist here.
It would be Tyler Wade.
Yeah, who's not even on this, but right.
And in left field, so what I'm saying is the opening day starting outfield is going to be Frazier in right, Talkman in center, Gardner in left. And I think if they do play Andujar in the outfield, it will be in left field. And in that sense, I cannot see them also playing Clint Frazier in right field because then you're really compromising your outfield defense. So in that case, it would probably be Gardner in center, Talkman in right.
You know who is going to have load management at some point, and it's Brett Gardner. At some point, Brett Gardner, who's
right. Last year was like the only year he ever didn't break down towards the end of the
year. Yeah, I'm knocking on wood. Yeah, exactly. And that's a guy who they're going to want to manage innings so that they can have him available. I mean, he's a guy that has historically not injury. Injuries haven't really slowed him down. It's more just wear and tear. And we've seen, and that's all kind of speculation. It's just we've known he's slowed down at the end of the year. So, look, he's an older guy. I'm saying there's a possibility. I know he's in phenomenal shape. He's just one of those country strong guys who's, you know, we'll go out there no matter what. But yeah, he's part of this equation now that he can't really sit very often.
Well, yeah, also,
or you will have Clint Frazier and you will have, Andujar in the outfield this, unless Tyler Wade is now really becoming an outfield, which I see no choice, right? You have to almost.
Yeah. Wade, if he's on the roster, can play outfield and infield.
And we saw last year, Tyro Estrada going out into the outfield without any experience in the outfield did fine in left field. So that's part of the reason why I think Andujar is going to be out there at some point.
And Andujar, I think, will get at least to start a lot of time at DH because you're going to want to get his bat in there, but he's also coming off shoulder surgery. Like, let's not forget, like, what if he takes a little while to ramp
up? Looks good.
Okay. It's spring training.
My confidence in Andujar. Good. High. Very
Mike
high.
Talkman ended last season with a calf.
I mean,
issue.
He's been injured here and there. Yeah, I got no confidence. He's just
so the
field.
Guys who are now the starters are also have injury history. It's insane. Andujar also played first base on Friday and made a really bad error.
Frazier at some point. I mean, like, you know, he had lingering head trauma issues,
concussions.
Who knows
yeah.
if that's something that could, you know? I mean, we haven't really heard much about it lately, so I'm hopeful that he's beyond those. But who knows what could bring that back? You never know. It's like, there's a lot of things. There's so many what ifs now, even with the guys that are still on the field running around trying to catch balls. A lot of what ifs. Does that lead you down the path of now we look at free agency? Because I've been seeing a certain guy's name out there quite a bit that would add the look.
Yeah, we have a mailbag about
okay.
that.
We'll talk about it when we get the mailbag.
Big league tease by you. Gerrit Cole got crushed by Detroit on Thursday, and that caused Twitter to melt down, naturally. It was windy, and there was a ton of home runs in that game, so that could also be part of the reason. He was also recovering from an illness, and when I saw the news that Gerrit Cole was feeling ill, I, of course, immediately thought coronavirus.
Or hand, mouth, and foot.
Yeah, Coxsackie. That's what it's
called. I forgot.
That's the medical terminology.
Yep. Not my area of expertise.
Everyone calm down. If Gerrit Cole is healthy, I'm good. Because really, spring training stats don't matter. And if a guy gets rocked in a spring training outing, I'm not going to freak out.
Did the wind cause the guys to barrel up the ball?
No, but like you could hit a ball that would be a warning track out, and instead it's gone. Like, no, there was something crazy. It was like a high scoring game, something like seven home runs hit in the game.
I
or
know.
Something
I'm just being an ass. There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. Gerrit Cole is going out there. You know, probably wasn't feeling great, doing some work, going through the motions, getting the arm ready. Yeah. Just get the arm ready. That's all he's gonna do. We don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm not worried.
But
about
we can
that.
Talk about and people who do really well if we don't expect it. I'm here for that.
So that's what we're gonna run through. Some standout players so far this spring, and just with the context that spring training stats don't matter. If Gerrit Cole had 1,000 ERA in spring training, there he's still gonna start opening day. If DJ LeMahieu was hitting .000 this spring, he's still gonna start at second base. He is hitting .409.
Newsflash, he's not, because he's DJ LeMahieu.
Of course he is.
I'm going to tell you, though, the Gerrit Cole thing, I am not worried at all. But if I start seeing early struggles in the regular season, my mind, I already know where my mind's going. It's going to be impossible for me to get my mind out of the gutter on this one.
Remember we talked about this? CeCe Sabathia in his first like month as a Yankee had like a 4.5 ERA.
Yeah, I know. But that's not where my mind's going to go. It's Gerrit
Cole's
going to
go that he's no longer using illegal substances on the ball.
Topical.
And that the Astros were doing something.
Ointments. Yes, that's where my mind's going to go. I'm just saying. That's exactly where my mind's going to go.
That's where Trevor Bauer's mind went.
That's exactly where his mind has been for a while. He's been kind of touting that for a little bit. Yes.
He called out Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, he said it a long time ago. He said it about a bunch of the guys. Charlie Morton, he said it. Yes, this is the thing. Like, this is why I was digging into Fangraphs from weird articles that were like MLB notes that are like behind the scenes that I found. There's weird things with that, and I hope it's not anything. I really do.
We were going to touch on this in MLB news like rundown, but there was the Angels fired their visiting clubhouse manager last week because he was supplying illegal substances to visiting pitchers.
That's pretty funny. You know?
So I mean, it's just like one of those things. It's like, well,
he's like, I hate my job. I hate my team. I'm just going to,
first of all, how did they, and the article made it seem like they knew about this and they just didn't care because like their pitchers were doing it too or whatever. But like, why are they firing them now? The article theorized, I think it was on MLB, Hardball, whatever the NBC sports.
Wasn't there something about, oh no, that was in, Yankee Stadium. The clubhouse manager of the opposing team had a relationship with Gerrit Cole. That's what it was.
And he knew he liked like Italian wine.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Got it.
But this guy was supplying whatever it was, illegal substances, to visiting pitchers, and he was fired. But the article theorized he was fired because MLB is really cracking down on all sorts of cheating.
Yeah, if there's any kind of like a little bit of gray, you're gone. Yeah, let's fire the wrong guys. Okay, let's fire the guys that have nothing to do with any of this. But the players, we're not going to touch them.
So some other Yankees that
this guy was probably giving chapstick to people on a cold night. You know what I mean? Like, whatever.
Yeah, like
some bed gay, like
the sunscreen, or guys use pine tar. And
he's like, "Oh, your neck's a little red. I got some SPF 50 in the back. You want some?"
Well, no. I mean, it's all you gotta be sneaky about it. You gotta be suave about it.
Maybe he was like, just being a nice guy and saying, like, you're getting burned. I got some sunscreen so your neck doesn't get red.
Yeah, like the hot Southern California sun.
He's like, you guys are from Minnesota. You obviously don't know how the sun hits.
Like, why would I feel like sunscreen would make the ball slipperier. And that's not what a pitcher would want.
I mean, it depends what you're trying to do with the ball, I guess. If you have a little bit more slickness, you could get a little,
no, if you can get a better grip, you're going to get a better spin rate, and the ball's going to be, you're going to be able to manipulate the ball better.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, the spitball, the grease ball, like these are, you know, you get a little different, little slide off of it, it goes crazy on you. You don't have to throw it so hard, it goes still a little crazy on you.
You know, like, you know that scene in The Office where Michael's preparing for the birth of not his child? And Dwight lathers up a watermelon in like Vaseline.
Right.
And he just like, I picture that's what the ball would be like, trying to throw a watermelon like lather.
I mean, guys would use Vaseline.
Impossible.
Guys would use Vaseline. That's we know that. What's his name?
Vaseline?
Yeah, but what about Clay Buchholz would be soaking wet with freaking sunscreen in his hair.
Sunscreen in his hair, but like again. Slippery. Like,
I think so. You don't use the laces on those. You use just the ball.
And what does that do?
It makes it more slick. Gets it out of your hand a little different. Look, all you need is something a little different.
Do you think maybe it's so when the bat connects with the ball, it slides off the bat and has a weaker contact?
No, I don't think that. I think it's just the ball being slippery out of your hand. Which is why guys don't
want
that.
You're not going to let me get to these guys,
sorry.
Are you?
But when you talk about foreign substances and you talk about the players, the batters, like a lot of these guys were like, yeah, pine tar, great. I want that. No problem.
Yeah.
Because guys could grip it and then they could control it better. And on a cold day, which is different, like coldness, like you can't feel the ball at that point. But when you have more grip, some batters are like, fine, like keep the ball in the strike zone away from my head, away from my body. I'm fine with that. So some guys just have no problem with it at all. Vaseline,
or is it,
now you're talking about a substance that gives you just a little bit of a different movement.
Are pitchers okay with, are batters okay with pine tar maybe instead because they know their pitchers are using it?
Well, I think it depends on the situation. I think in the winter, or, you know, not in the winter, but in the colder nights, wind is kicking. You can't get a grip on the ball because you can't really feel the ball as much. Your little pine tar will help you control the ball better. I think some guys would be okay with that. I've heard them talk about it.
Can I talk about?
Yeah, let's talk about these guys.
Now?
Yeah, yeah.
We all wrote J Happ off, but he's had a good spring. He's thrown 9 innings and only given up 1 run. And they're going to count on him to be their number 3 starter for at least the first couple months of the season. So that's good. It's good that J Happ is not sucking so far this spring. Yay.
Yeah, yeah.
Jonathan.
Who else
Johnny
wrote him off? I didn't write him off.
Yeah, we did. We wanted to trade his ass.
No, you wanted to trade his ass. I didn't want to trade his ass. J Happ was fine. I think he's going to be just great. Keep going.
What, do you want him to get 160 innings so he gets that vesting option?
Yes, I do, because that means he's pitching well.
Not necessarily.
Well, yeah.
It means they don't have anyone else.
I am
pitch.
Fine with J-Happ as a fifth starter in 2021.
Johnny Lasagna has pitched in 4 games. He's made 2 starts. He's looked pretty good. He's allowed 2 runs in 7 innings. He's one of these guys might be in the conversation for a starter, might be in a conversation for a reliever. They might be piggybacking with starters and relievers as a fifth starter. Clark Schmidt, his stuff has looked filthy. He's got a 1.8 ERA. A lot of people are excited about Clark Schmidt. He's on the Yankees prospect boards.
A lot higher than most people thought, too. He jumped a lot of people on that board. And, you know, there's been a lot of hype about him since he came back from injury. So that's a guy.
He had Tommy John.
Yeah, but he's a guy that, you know, pitched a little at the end of last year, and then people have been hyping
him
up.
When did we talk to him?
We talked to him after he got drafted.
So 2018?
Yeah, he's another Gamecock. We could potentially have 2 USC Gamecocks in the rotation, him and Jordan Montgomery.
Are Gamecocks more likely to get Coxsackie?
Potentially. And also, there's other diseases that I think follow with chickens too, so no good.
Clint Frazier's got a 500 OBP. This one, you know, he's usually aggressive at the plate, but he's supposedly changed a little bit of his mechanics. Maybe he's got better pitch recognition, can be a little bit more patient to become more of a complete offensive player. Or maybe he's just facing
bad pitching,
inferior pitching
right.
in spring training, and he's got a 500 OBP.
Or maybe guys
so
are just
fine.
Practicing
Whatever.
Their fastball. Who knows?
Yeah. Rossell Herrera is a guy who everyone is talking about. He leads the team in runs scored and batting average, and he is not – he's not like a new player to the majors. He's played before for teams. He's 27 years old. He's a switch hitter. He's not currently on the 40-man roster, but he does have major league experience at 6 different positions.
Yeah.
So that's the type of guy. Like, there's always a guy that you're like, oh, I've never heard of him before, but he hit 475 this spring. And it's always like, oh, maybe he's going to make the roster. Maybe he's not going to make the roster. And if the Yankees were healthy, Herrera would be not even sniffing the roster, but now, especially with 26-man roster, who the hell knows?
Well, yeah, it's a guy that you'd think could be stored in AAA and be like first guy up type of thing. Does his helmet fly off when he rounds first base and goes to second? I'm getting some vibes with him with another former utility guy from the New York Yankees that won a World Series with the Red Sox, unfortunately. But he seems like a guy because he's been hitting the ball.
Nunez?
Yeah, a little Nooney. Little Nooney flavors there, I feel like. He's a guy that could play multiple positions, you know, if he could play them better than Nunez, hopefully. But a little bit of an offensive player as well. He's an interesting player, you know, a guy that could peak at a later point in his career. I'm good with it.
Have you ever wondered why traditional button-ups look so long and baggy? That's because they were never meant to be worn that way. Untuckit shirts were specifically designed to be worn untucked. No matter your shape or size, their shirts are the perfect untucked length. With more than 50 fit combinations, Untuckit shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. Don't just take my word for it, try Untuckit for yourself. But if you do want my word for it, I have like 4 or 5 Untuckit shirts and I love them all. The best part is, once you find your size, no matter the style that you order, whether it's a long sleeve button down, a short sleeve button down, or whatever it is, it's going to fit you just right. Many other clothing brands out there, I cannot say the same about, but I can say the same about that for Untuckit. They always come consistent, which is huge when you're ordering clothes online. Visit untuckit.com and use code BLUEWIRE for 20% off your first order. They even offer free shipping and returns on all orders in the U.S. That's untuckit.com, promo code BLUEWIRE, that's one word, for 20% off your first order. So there were some rumors on the New York Post, because that's what the New York Post is really, about the Yankees and Mets discussing possible Steven Matz trade. And I found it funny because if you read the article, like the third or fourth sentence basically says, these are preliminary discussions. There's skepticism that this would actually happen, especially this earlier in the year. So they basically just wanted some clicks. Regardless, what I want to ask you is Steven Matz someone that you would like to have in the rotation over what the Yankees might have to fill in within their organization? Because
I don't think Steven Matz
has done anything that special.
Do I want the Mets problem? Do I want an injury problem that came over from the Mets? I don't know where he was at the end of last year.
He's not been injured. He's actually been one of the more durable starters.
He's had injuries. There were injuries, you know, maybe it was the year before that. He's had injuries at some point.
He's made 30 starts each of the last two seasons, which
okay, so then maybe it was 2 years ago. Okay, fine. I take it back. No, I don't want him. I don't want him.
Oh, no, I don't want him because his stats aren't that good in the National League. Never mind what he would be in the American League. In 2018, he had a 3.97 ERA, which, okay, not that bad. Actually pretty good, but a 4.62 FIP.
Yeah.
Terrible. 2018, he got even worse. 4.21 ERA, 4.60 FIP. So, like, he hasn't been that great. He has not lived up to the hype. I think people for the Mets overhyped him because he's from Long Island.
Right.
Like, oh, this would be fun if we had a Long Island guy pitching for us. But now they got another Long Island guy pitching for them. They're just rounding up all the Long Island athletes and putting them on the Mets.
Might as well. You know, it's find something that's trying to work over there. No, I mean, look, he's another guy who had a big prospect talk coming up, hasn't lived up to the bill. And did he have Tommy John surgery before he was able up? It was something like that.
I don't know.
But he, because I know he had like a slow start. I just don't want it. We got guys who we're excited about in the minor leagues right now. We have guys that are prospects. Yankees have a ton of right-handed arms. They have a ton of guys that we're talking. We're talking about Clark Schmidt right now. He's a guy that just had an injury. Is coming back from it. High prospects. A number one draft pick for the Yankees. No, I want the guys that they've been scouting and they know that's in their system because that's gone well so far. That recently, that's gone well. I want those guys.
Well, also, the article mentioned that the Yankees have positional player depth to trade, and the Mets have pitching depth to trade.
They have positional okay. To where? Yeah. Who are we trading? We have too many injuries to trade, guys.
Well, I mean, obviously, there's the injury factor, but the article mentioned Miguel Andujar.
Okay.
And if you're going to trade Miguel Andujar, I would hope you can get a better pitcher than Steven Matz.
You can't trade Andujar right now. You just can't. He's a healthy body with a phenomenal bat that we know of.
I am not in the camp that you can't trade Andujar because he's a designated hitter.
Right now, he is the starting left fielder.
No, he's not.
He's the starting designated hitter then. He's a
starting
player on our team,
hitter.
And Steven Matz is a number 5 starter. No.
But I'm not saying that you are worse off with Mike Ford DHing and Luke Voit at first base than you are with one of those two playing first base and Miguel Andujar DHing full time. Like, if you can get a pitcher for Miguel Andujar, I'm fine with that.
You're saying that Voit's bat and Mike Ford's bat are comparable to Miguel Andujar's bat? The guy led the in doubles. He's like set the rookie record in doubles when he was. I think we're forgetting on how good his bat is and where it can be. I think he's a plus bat that is an impact bat that. In a lineup now that is missing two significantly high impact bats, we need that guy now.
That is now a guy that is a necessity on this team. Who knows how long Judge is going to be out? Who knows how long Stanton's going to be out? We need to score some runs also. We need to be able to protect some of the other guys. Because guess what? If we're missing both of those guys, don't expect Glaber to see the pitches that he saw last year. Don't expect him to be able to go out there and have that same type of year, because there's no protection now. This is going to become a factor. And if we don't have the bats to put in there and slot in this lineup, it's not going to be as good.
And my concern with Andujar is that we saw the best offensive season he's ever going to have in 2018.
I mean, we just don't know.
No, well, so he doesn't walk. He has no plate discipline, and those players do not project well going forward. He had a great year. I'm not underselling his year in 2018. He had a 130 WRC+. That's excellent. But I don't know if he can repeat that.
Miguel Andujar is one of those guys that your nerds...
Are you saying Miguel?
I'm just stressing it. Miguel. He's one of those guys that your nerds can't comprehend. Your nerds don't like guys like this because he's a good bad ball hitter. He's a guy that could go out and find the barrel, and he barrels up the ball. That's why he had so many goddamn doubles. A lot of them were not strikes over the middle of the plate. He's I've made this comparison before. I'm not trying to label him as that type of hitter, but it's a
similar. Don't say it. I know what
I've already
don't
said it 100
it.
Times.
It.
The Vlad don't Guerrero type hitter.
No,
in the sense that
no.
He's a good bad ball hitter. That's what I mean by that. I'm not saying he's a potential Hall of Famer. He's a guy that can control the bat, has very good control, good hand eye. I love that. So yeah, your nerds don't project him well because the plate discipline's off. He's swinging at balls outside the plate. He's just a guy who can handle the bat. Fine. He can hit the ball. He hits the ball, puts it in contact, puts it in play. He's a guy that projects well. Do we know that he's going to have a better year? No, we don't. But he was out for a year. His offense is he's a prolific offensive player. I think he's going to get better. I don't think you get worse from that. I think when you have a good set of skills as an offensive player, you can build upon those.
I hope so. But what I'm more saying is not that Andujar stinks. It's that is your team better off with Voit and Ford in the lineup, who maybe can be almost as good as Andujar offensively, if you can get a pitcher of quality for Miguel Andujar?
I mean, it depends who that pitcher is, I guess. It's not Steven Matz.
It's not Steven Matz. Right. That's where this start originated.
Yes. I don't know who that guy is, like where your bar is, but my bar would have to be pretty high. And unfortunately, he just hasn't built up that value yet post-injury to get to that guy. So that's why I believe at this point he's not tradable, because you're not going to get the value for him. And who knows what happens at the break, because who knows who's back?
Yeah. Keith Law, who is obviously he writes a lot about prospects and minor league systems. He ranked the Yankees number 6 in baseball for their overall system rankings, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty high. The Rays are number 1. Red Sox are number 25. So the Red Sox are getting worse, and their organization doesn't really have much to call.
The Dombrowski effect is so real. It's such a glaring thing what Dombrowski does to your team. I mean, he puts it on film, man. He's got the film to back it up.
So I'm going to read the first sentence of his blurb, and I want to see what you find interesting in this sentence. He says, the Yankees have clearly figured out some things on the development side, especially finding ways to help pitchers throw harder or throw higher quality pitches, like boosting spin rates, and have also stayed active on the international side.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what they've done. That's why I have more confidence in the development team and where these nerds and the scouts and nerd number 2 have all worked together to find these guys.
Boosting spin rates, though, according to Trevor Bauer, the only way to boost spin rate is a legal substance.
I don't think he said that's the only way. I think to get the drastic to get the drastic improvements in such a short amount of time, then yeah, that like when you're looking at veteran guys who come over and all of a sudden there's a revelation, yeah, that to me is a little bit of a flag. But when you're developing kids from a lower point in their career, yeah, I think over time you can do that by adjusting certain things. So I will disagree there. I think there are ways to do that if you're doing it smart and you know how to do it. It's just the, you know, overnight successes in spin rate are the ones that I'm kind of shrugging my my eyes at a little bit, a little worried about them.
Rohan on BronxPinstripes.com wrote a good article about this topic, mentioning Keith Law's rankings and how he has him at number 6. Baseball America ranked the Yankees organization at 17. That's a pretty drastic gap.
Yeah.
That's top of the league versus middle of the league. And the biggest difference is really how The difference in how these outlets, what they place importance on as far as prospects.
Right.
Because you can evaluate them differently. It depends. Are you looking for upside or is it risk management? And for Keith Law, he puts more emphasis on upside.
Yeah.
The Yankees have a lot of young players with really good upside. So if a couple of those work out, then boom, you've got yourself something special. Whereas Baseball America, if a guy is riskier, they're gonna knock you more for that. So they look for more high floor, whereas Keith Law is looking at what's the ceiling.
Right. Did he label these out by any chance? Because I'm curious as to where.
What do you mean label
them? I mean the players. I guess it's just by team. It's not really individual
he's just ranking the teams, and he had a little bit of a blurb on each team on why he ranked the organization where.
So
it is. What Baseball America said is basically that after the Yankees top three, it's so risky, it's impossible to evaluate. It's impossible to put them top in the league. Whereas Keith Law is saying the Yankees have found something in their development side, and they've compiled these players with immense talent.
Right.
And if a few of them work out, then that's all you can really ask for. Like a prospect, you don't bat 1,000 on your prospects. If you bat like 250 on your prospects, then you're doing okay.
Better than okay. This is where I was curious about that. I would think that Keith Law has guys also like Floreal probably higher than Baseball America does, where Baseball America and Badler, we talked about this, they had him outside the top 10 in the Yankee system because, you know, he hadn't shown any improvements from where they had him a previous time. And that was because he couldn't stay on the field, because he, you know, wasn't able to show improvement. So therefore they can't say, okay, well, he has improved. So they knock him for that. And that's just a different way of looking at it. Whereas Keith Law might say, well, if Floreal has a healthy season, like the potential is number one guy. And he may rank that a little higher. I think the overwhelming majority of people and like the constant is that the Yankees have gone out in the international free agency and they have signed a lot of right-handed, hard-throwing guys that they are kind of like, let's see how many of these guys we can get. Let's see how many of these guys we could develop into, you know, better pitchers that can pitch not just throw, but also have the ability to throw in the high 90s. And, you know, maybe we can increase spin rate. Maybe we could do this and that and this. And they're trying to increase the consistency in the strike zone. And that's where a lot of these guys live. So, yeah, the Yankees have a lot of high talented guys, I think. And the international free agency is one of those. I think they've more come from there than the draft.
And when you bring in someone like Mike Blair to overrun.
We're just going to call him every name but his name. From
every simple name. That starts with an M and a B.
Yeah, nice. I can't wait.
So this Matt Blake comes in, and they're talking about overhauling just the pitching staff, the pitching coach staff throughout the organization, and you can work with these guys who have this great talent, and you can develop these pitchers better than they have in the past.
Yeah.
So that's what you know. I find it very cool how these different outlets how they evaluate things. Because it's different. It's just a different mindset. It's just,
well, that's the thing. It's not robotic, right? It's not. You're not basing it off of just purely speculation based on projections and the numbers. These are people that are using their thought and their experience and their eyes and the numbers and all of these things to conclude into one, you know, one narrative and whatnot. So yeah, I think it is very interesting. It gives you different perspectives.
All right, I want to go through a lightning round of baseball, just regular baseball news. And what I'm going to do is when we start the topic, I'm going to start a one-minute timer. And then when that timer's done, I'm going to say, what do you want me to say?
No, you say whatever you want. Just we have diarrhea of the mouth, so this is going to be very challenging for us.
And I'm going to say stop. And then you don't want like a word? Like
a safe word?
Like a stop word? Not a safe word, a stop word.
Yeah, whatever it is. Just say stop. Time up.
Okay. And we're going to stop and move on to the next topic.
For everybody listening, the amount of alarms that I'm saving you from right now that Andrew went through on his phone for the noise that was going to happen, you just thank me right now because they all gave me they gave me agita from either waking up or an alarm to do something I don't want to do or whatever it is. So we're just going to go with the word.
All right. Anyway, start. First one is a stat from @HighHeatStats on Twitter. They're a good account. Go follow them. 2019 set records for most strikeouts per game, most batters hit by pitch per game, fewest sack bunts per game, fewest triples per game, most different batters used in a season, and home runs per game. What does that all add up to? Slow ass baseball games.
Yep. Lots of boring games, lots of non moving the runners around to get the runs that need to be done because the numbers tell them they don't do that. And they look at that and they love it. And I hate it.
I hate it too. I saw this and I was like, yeah, I didn't need the stats to prove to me that this is where baseball is going, but all the stats prove it to where it's going. And it's really annoying.
And yeah, stats are, they're going that way because they're tailored that way. We've found out where the numbers are at some point. Some nerds were like, yeah, this does better than this. So now everybody does it. And what does it do? It adds up to a more boring game. I love the game. Quit messing with it.
Wow, we didn't. 58 seconds.
I'm anticipating you saying it. That's why.
We didn't even. Okay, so I'm going to move to the next one. All right, you ready for this? A-Rod's comments. Did you hear these comments when he was talking about the Astros and how, you know, he was fined essentially $35 million. Through his suspensions, he lost $35 million, and the Astros were only fined $5 million. And those things don't just really add up. And one thing I didn't agree with him on, he was like, I sat there and took my medicine. Bullshit, dude. No, you did not. You fought it tooth and nail. Yeah. You stormed out of court like a little baby and then went straight to Mike Francesa to bitch about Rob Manfred in baseball. So you did not take your medicine. You sat out and lost $35 million after you had to. So shut the hell up, A-Rod.
Yeah. What are we? Mine's worse than his. I had all these injuries. I had all these this money taken away from me, and they didn't get caught. It's like the guy, they didn't get caught. They didn't have what I did. No, they're both bad. Both very, very. The decisions were based off premeditated things. It's a bad look. It's a bad look for him. He needs to go back to shutting up. Except now they're putting an emphasis
on him.
Stop.
Stop.
He's gonna be talking
Stop.
Way too much.
Shut up. Shut up.
Way
Stop.
Too much.
This segment is going swimmingly. Jose Bautista is working out as a two-way player, and he was clocked at 94 miles an hour in the bullpen. Bring his ass in for the spectacle of it.
Okay, fine. Yeah, for the spectacle of it, okay. Go to a team, go to the Marlins, and play there. Like, you're fine. You can be there. You're low cost. Jeter has no problem with those guys. Just very short-term basis. Okay, great. You throw 94 miles an hour. How many other guys in the league can throw that high? Probably a lot of them. It doesn't mean anything. Stop it.
Yeah, what percentage would you say of baseball players can hit mid-90s off a mound?
I'd say a higher amount than most people think. A percentage of the guys in the league that are position players? I'll say 30%.
Yeah, I have no... Like, I think... Wasn't Didi clocked at, like, 90-something miles an hour from shortstop
Probably,
at one point?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? If he starts getting in a little bit of emotion and figures out some mechanics, you could throw the ball.
Wait, minute, stop. Trevor Bauer is a psychotic lunatic, part number 1 billion, as if we need more evidence. He signaled what pitch was coming in a game against the Dodgers. Matt Beattie was at the plate, and he still got him out. He would do his little glove motions if it was a fastball or a breaking ball, like you do in any bullpen session to alert the catcher.
Yeah, you just fold it over your glove.
Is this proof that sign stealing does not work?
No, it's not. It's not proof. That's it. It's not proof.
Why? He told Matt Beattie what pitch was coming,
yeah,
and Matt Beattie could not hit it.
Because I do think that if a pitcher, even if you know it's coming, can execute said pitch, because you don't know where it's going, but if you could execute said pitch to the ability that you want to, I still think you could get a batter out. Still an advantage for the pitcher if you can execute that pitch because you're not telling them where it is. It's a quadrant that you don't know about. So I still think it's an advantage. It's not foolproof. So it doesn't prove anything. Proves nothing.
You got it at 57 seconds.
There you go.
We're moving on. We already talked about the Angels firing the visiting clubhouse guy. So we're good. I think we need to come up with a better way to like alert that the time is up, like a sound.
Yeah, we'll just,
or like
we
a
need
word.
We need a better sound.
Yeah,
one that doesn't scare the shit out of people because like, oh my God, I have to wake up, or oh my God, I have to take my medicine, or oh my God, I have to go to the doctor.
Let us know what your suggestions are. Hey, maybe you can even leave them in the written reviews on our on iTunes of the podcast. And we got a bunch this last week after I called the people out, called the listeners out, and I appreciate it. So thank you to Raul Rodriguez Jr., Yankees Girl 8, New Runner 11, T-Bar 385, Mickey Stir, JJSHS008721BSBSU, he. KCKCKC87. Mr. BR.
That's Brian Moniz. We know him. Yep.
Oh, yeah, that is. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, Brian?
Underscore Yankees
I think you went
fan.
To a game with him, actually. In
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't connect the the Twitter handle on that. That makes sense. And Rand 99.
Yeah, probably 99 for Aaron Judge. Just guessing. Or it's R and 99.
Or they were born in 1999.
Potentially. People were born in 1999, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So thank you guys. If you have not written us a review yet, please do so. It really does help us out. And we just got a bunch this week, and it's great. Some people have been listening for 5 years, which is how long we've been doing the show. So
yeah,
it's pretty, you guys have come with us a long way, over 400 episodes. You've heard us bitch about, I mean, we spent an entire season of me just bitching about Chase Headley. So that was fun.
That's true. It's kind of how it all kicked off. It was a lot of early bitch sessions, but no, we do appreciate it. And I know some people just need a little bit of a reminder. Just go in there and give us that 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. And if you listen on Spotify and you could rate on there, we'd appreciate that too. Thanks, guys.
You've also come a long way, because right now I'd say your biggest man crush on the Yankees is DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah.
Your biggest man crush on the Yankees used to be Rob Refsnyder.
Right. I mean, there was just, you know, the lack of options. I don't know what to tell you. There were things, the man crushes came from pain points, really. It was not like an admiration as much of a player, but it was like, I just don't want to see this guy named Stephen Drew rolling out there when we have a prospect who's been highly touted and sold to us, who was the highest prospect in the organization for a long time, of Rob Refsnyder, which is sad.
That's where the organization was in 2015.
Like, just play that guy. We have a bunch of bums out there. He just hit a home run. Let him play. What are we doing?
Opened up some old wounds.
Jesus
there.
Christ. I had the privilege of talking with Refsnyder too.
Yes. All right. That probably helped the man crush.
It didn't hurt it.
First mailbag question is from Shane. He says, I love Judge as a player and leader. I really do. But the dude is made of glass, not to mention pretty old compared to his peers at the same point in their career. Unfortunately, I feel like the Yankees are all but pot committed to signing him to a long-term deal at this point. I hate to say it, Yankees universe, but I think they might need to let him walk after arbitration. We already have Stanton, who looks like he's going to weigh down the payroll for the next decade. So either that or trying to sign him to a modest deal now, maybe 4 to 5 years for $15 to $20 million AAV. Take the money you are planning on giving Judge and reallocate some of it, reallocate it to someone like Glaber. So but before you talk, I just want to run down the Judge's injury history. In the minors, in 2014, he played 131 games, and in 2015, he played 124 games. Those are essentially full minor league seasons.
Yeah.
2016, he got called up in August. Out of 46 possible games he could have played, he played 27, because if you remember, he ended that season with an oblique injury.
Right.
2017.
That looked like it was clearly bothering him, too, because it looked like an issue.
2017, he comes back a whole new player, revamped his swing, everything. He was the rookie of the year, should have been the MVP. He dealt with shoulder issues the entire second half, which hurt his numbers, but he still played 155 games. 2018, 112 games because he fractured his wrist after being hit by a pitch. 2019, 102 games because of another oblique injury. And now 2020, he's going to start the season not playing because of a fractured rib.
Yeah. And also the oblique... When was the oblique injury in 2019?
It happened in, I want to say, April.
Yeah. I'm just thinking now. I just kind of connected a couple things potentially. What if the...
What?
I don't know. There's like some core stuff going on with the chest and the oblique. And I'm wondering if there was something to do with that 2000 early... The one that happened earlier on with his oblique injury that maybe crept up.
In 2016?
No, 2019. There's an oblique injury there, and then he hurt himself again at the end of 2019, because now we're dealing with it. There's some possible...
I know they're in the same region of the body, but a cracked rib is different than an oblique.
Sure it is, but if there could have been some, some whatever. It could be very separate. I'm just saying, just in the area of the chest core. So what this tells me when I'm looking at this, okay, I'm seeing a guy that came up, we're seeing the oblique. I'm circling the oblique. Like, that's happened twice now.
Because it's happened twice.
And to me, the other ones look fluky. The fractured wrist, fluky. Played full season 2017. Would have probably played full season 2018. Again, 2016 oblique injury. Again, that was when he was first coming up. Who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen when you're first coming up. Overextension, whatever it is. Oblique, again, still that area, though. And then 2019 oblique, and then this fractured rib thing. So, again, impact injuries, and then oblique.
Fluky or not, some guys just get injured more than other guys. That's just a fact.
Sure. No, no, it's a fair assessment.
We're talking about what is Aaron Judge going to get on the free agent market? What are the Yankees going to sign him to? This plays a factor.
Of course
maybe
it does.
Maybe they can get him to sign sooner, or maybe they can get him to sign for fewer years or less total money because of this injury history. This is going to be a concern whenever he goes to talk to a team about a contract. Hey, dude, you've played in the majors for 5 years, and you've been injured in every one of those years.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely a concern. It's one of those things that you have to look at. Again, I keep talking about the fact that he's just a bigger-bodied guy, and that will play into it because I believe that. You know, I think as he gets older, it's going to be harder for him to stay completely healthy, because I think the other thing about these bigger bodied guys is that I just think it takes them a little bit longer to get back to that muscle memory, to find those spots, to find the good points where they can feel good in their mechanics and all those things too. So, you know, potentially the road back is a little bit longer. There's a bunch of these things that just kind of play into each other. And yeah, what I see by fractured wrist, the rib injury, again, man, as he's getting older, he's going to have to be a little bit smarter with the types of risks that he takes in the outfield. I think both of those are, you know, they were caused by, getting hit by a pitch is not one thing, but he had some contact with a wall at one point for the shoulder. There was some things there, the fractured rib. So, you know, there's a number of things where I think he's going to have to be a little bit smarter in the field and not take those unnecessary risks, like diving for an Albert Pujols single that's in front of you.
I just think it's so tough to change a player's mentality. A player's going to dive for an Albert Pujols single in a September game. They're going to dive for a ball in October. That's just.
But
it's also
like, you know, in situations where you don't dive for that ball, if there are less than two outs, if there are less than two outs. And there's
Judge is a smart player. I know he's not going to dive for a ball that he think, well, okay, well, the runner's going to advance an extra base if I don't make this play. Like, he's always going to play this. He's going to play it smart.
But that's my point.
I don't
want
to call it safe. He's going to play it smart.
That's my point. You can be smart by being this type of guy. But playing smart can be two different things. It could be what's going on in the field in front of you. And it could also be by like staying on the field, period. Where in that particular case, you just don't need to dive and get it. You just don't need to, because he's not going anywhere. And if it's a single, it's a single. Man on first, nothing hurt.
Is it smarter for Judge to keep his body healthy? Is it smarter also for the Yankees long term to keep Judge on the field? Judge, we've said, most important player on the Yankees when he's the team leader. What year was it where, I think it was 2018, that he came back, but he didn't really come back, remember?
Yeah.
He was just like,
he's in the dugout.
He's in the dugout. He's
going to help the team with the...
He played right field, but he didn't hit.
Yeah, Yankee Stadium.
Remember that? Just like, oh, and having his presence on the active roster.
So
who's talking about how it's all...
Because he wasn't in the dugout anyway.
Yeah, but apparently it's different when you're actually on the active roster versus on the injured list. You can lead differently, whatever it is. All that tells me is that Judge is the unofficial captain of the Yankees.
Look, what I'm saying, when I talk about a guy that's trying to be smarter in the field, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. That's unreasonable to think that a guy could just change the way he plays and instincts overnight. But it's going to have to be something that's drilled into him, just kind of like sliding, like a quarterback sliding instead of taking that hit. You're going to be smarter in certain areas of the game so that you can be on the field, because it's more important for you to be on the field in the long term of this team. And you're just going to have to get acclimated to that type of play. I'm not saying don't play hard. I'm not saying go after. But in certain circumstances, choose your spots.
So the next question, I realize we've already discussed about the medical issues with the training staff, or the medical staff not catching all these injuries, the training staff being different from the medical staff, people complaining about all this stuff. But I just want to shout out Marcus, Alex at Grush NYC on Twitter, and Jason Spencer at Bronx Bombers JS on Twitter. Thank you for the questions. Keep them coming.
Yeah, and I appreciate the credit for calling out Dr. Scott. That's Marcus. Appreciate that, man. We'll see you,
Marcus.
See you at the end of the week,
Mr. Dr. Scott.
Yeah, he's a part of the crew in
BP
Tampa.
Crew Tampa chapter. Yes, he says shout out to the BP Crew Tampa chapter. The next question is from Jeff Vitrano. Is it time to consider Puig as an option? This is the guy you were talking about hearing outfielders' names mentioned.
Yeah.
So Why hasn't Puig been signed yet?
I think a lot of people think he's just not as great of a player as his recognition, his name recognition.
You think it's more on-field performance than it is off-field circus
antics
that comes with Yasiel Puig?
Yeah, I think so. I think some teams think he's overrated as a player and takes plays off, and like, there's a number of things on there. But shit, you look at a team like he turned down a 1-year, $10 million offer for an NL team. But would he turn that down now from the Yankees? I'd venture that it would be more of a consideration. I think you could get him for something like
point,
that.
At this point, what is his end goal at this point? Spring training is halfway over.
New York's a great place to land for him. And to me, the Yankees do have to have some kind of another backup plan that is not just Tyler
Wade. Yasiel Puig's not a backup plan. Yasiel Puig is a starter or else he's a problem.
But my point is, they need a backup plan to go in and play. It is it's a backup plan for the Yankees. He's not
oh
a backup
God.
Plan.
The mental meltdown that Clint Frazier would have if they signed Yasiel Puig to start in right field over him.
Yeah. Does that show confidence? Where's the confidence? So Puig is in right and Andujar's in left and Frazier's in AAA. Ooh.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not a good outfield.
You're right. Nobody said it was. It would be a huge burn to Clint Frazier, though. He would.
So Puig in 2019 had a 101 WRC plus and a 458 slugging percentage. That's league average in a juice ball year. Like, not that impressive. So you might be right. Like, just overrated as a player.
Yeah, I think his name brings more of a presence than his on-field abilities at this point. I mean, the guy was so – and also, like, the fact that he just took plays off.
He's had
for
moments,
so often.
Right?
Yeah, he's had
you
moments.
Think of
he's exciting.
You think of moments, exciting moments with Yasiel Puig for the Dodgers, home runs in the playoffs, unbelievable cannon of an arm. One of the best, strongest arms in baseball, like throwing from the right field corner all the way to home plate and all that kind of stuff.
His story from coming from Cuba is unreal.
Unreal
story.
It's
like one of those unbelievable, crazy, crazy stories.
And so you think of highlights, but then you look at his stats and you're like, oh, no thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd still like him. It'd be fun. I'm good.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. I'd take him. Let's do it.
You would take him for a 1-year, $10 million?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go. Let's go, Yasiel.
Let's get nuts.
I mean, I just, you know, it's hard to rely on guys that – it's hard to rely on Stanton, bottom line. And I think that's what you're looking at. I mean, I don't know what the deal is with Judge. That's going to be, to me, a medical thing. But the medical staff could tell me that Stanton's fine, and then I would still not be able to count on that because – it seems
he'll
like
come back and
he has so many different injuries.
Pull another muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last question is from Andrew Campbell. Rangers GM John Daniels made it clear that the Rangers would not throw at any Astros players this season. The front office and manager, Chris Woodward, are apparently both opposed to intentionally throwing at any Houston hitters. And Daniels said, we're going to be real clear. We're not looking for our players in any way going after Astros players. Whether this is out of the desire to avoid any negative publicity that comes from mixing it up with the Astros or simply a kind of same state, one union sort of thing. I was curious, if you were a coach or front office executive, would you feel it's right to tell your team and your players what they can and can't do on the field when it comes to something like this?
Yeah, so here's the deal. Hey, guys, we're not going to touch the Astros players. There's nothing going to – we don't believe in that. These guys are all along with the same players union. We're not going to – why would these guys go after them at this point? It's done. They've already gotten their criticism. We're not going to go after these players because that's not what we're doing. Umpires, we're not going after these players. Yo. Yo. Yo.
Wink, wink.
Yo. Make sure you throw at least three of them in the first two innings. At least three of them. Look, this is all this is. Is just just some smoke. This is good. They should do this. This will allow us to see more guys hit on the Astros, and I'm there for that. I don't want anybody getting hit in the
not.
Head.
They're saying not.
You're right. They're not. They are saying not. They're putting out a narrative.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah, this is genius. Of course, everybody should say this. Still gonna do it. Still
what I would
do,
if I were a manager or front office, I would leave it up to my players to know how to handle it. I would have confidence that my players will do the appropriate thing because I don't think it's right that a player would ever throw at one of the Astros players to hurt them.
Sure.
Right? You make a point. You make a statement. You don't throw at their head, though.
No.
Like, no matter what they did, you don't potentially ruin a guy's life by throwing a 96-mile-an-hour fastball
at their head. You throw it in the middle of their back.
Yeah. And let the players do that. They can police themselves. If an Astros player wants to be a tough guy and charge the mound, let him charge the mound.
Oh, please, please charge the mound. I would absolutely, well, because now you've just opened Pandora's box for everybody
so
else.
So you're Alex Bregman,
yeah,
or Carlos Correa, yeah, and you've been drilled now. This is the sixth time you've been drilled, and it's only May 10th.
Yeah. You got to take it, man.
You got it. No, you. How long are you going to take it?
As long as
you got to do something.
It's your medicine. What are you going to do? You're going to charge them out? What is that going to do? It's going to make more people do it. Oh, you're not taking your medicine? You're gonna buck back at the fact that I think it's right to throw a ball at your back? Really? That's arrogant. That's cocky. Well, take your medicine, bitch.
The wild card in all of this is if it's becoming a pattern and players are getting hit, if the league is going to penalize those pitchers more than they should be penalized for hitting them, then pitchers are going to be like, well, it's not worth getting fined $50,000 or getting suspended for 2 weeks to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're right. That's going to be the determining factor. It's going to be how Manfred deals with this, how the umpires, whether they're giving warnings ahead of time, before the game. I could see that happening.
Oh, super quick warnings from umpires.
I mean, it literally could happen at the meeting at the plate. Like, we could see that.
We can see an umpire saying,
if I feel that a ball was coming in, it's up to me. It's my tell. If I think that ball is coming inside on purpose, we're going to have quick hooks today. Just so you know, I want you to be fully aware of that. Then we get into the game of, well, a ball slipped out of a guy's hand, or it was a little too far inside. Now we're all going to be determining why or what the, if it was premeditated. And now we're going to destroy umpires because the umpires are going to inject themselves into games where they shouldn't be. It's going to be a mess.
Well,
it's going to be a problem.
Pitchers have also said when you issue warnings too quick, that takes the inside part of the plate away from me. And there's pitches that you're not trying to hit a guy, but you're also trying to move him.
For sure.
You're trying to throw a 96 mile an hour fastball off the plate in, and that might hit him.
Yep.
Sometimes it might.
It depends on also the player. You know, if a guy is known for leaning out over the plate, is crowding the plate too much? Yeah, you want to back him up. If that's one of the Astros players and that's circumstantial, well, you know, I don't know how the umpire feels about that in that moment, and he better, to me, understand what's going on in that moment, and not just make a quick hook because of it. But I fully expect quick hooks in moments that are not warranted, and it's gonna be, oh man, I could just see the problems already. It's gonna be a problem. I think it's going to be a problem.
Before we go to out of left field, and we do have a good out of left field this time, I want to quickly mention something that my cousin, who's a film student, is doing. So he is raising money for a short film called 33 Innings. It is, if you're not familiar with the story, in the 1980s, the Pawtucket Red Sox, AAA for the Red Sox, at McCoy Stadium, which is in Rhode Island, played the longest ever professional game. It was 33 innings long. And my cousin is raising money to shoot this film at McCoy Stadium. They're charging a lot of money to do this. Also, McCoy Stadium is closing. The Pawtucket Red Sox are moving to Worcester, Massachusetts. So this is the last year of McCoy Stadium. If anyone is from Rhode Island, maybe you have been to McCoy Stadium, you know. I'm going to put the link in the show notes, and I'll also tweet it out. But if you want to make a donation, that'd be really cool. And he is a Red Sox fan. Just keep that in mind. But he knows I'm a huge Yankees fan, and I'm part of this podcast and the website. So he asked if I'd help him out, and I'm more than happy to do so. So go check that out. I'll put the link in the show notes. All right, let's go to out of left field.
And that out is Sanchez destroys that to left field.
There it goes. Deep to left. Really deep.
In the air to left field. Back at the track at the wall.
I pissed on a public building?
Yeah.
I got a doozy for
this
you, Scott.
This one's ridiculous.
So I go to a gym, a New York sports club. I'm not going to say which New York sports club. And I usually get there around 6:15 to 6:20 in the morning during the week. And there's a guy who's usually finishing his shower around this time. And instead of like a normal human being drying himself off with a towel, which are provided by New York Sports Club, he stands in front of the mirror with hair dryers in each hand and blow dries himself dry from head to toe. It started off as like, oh my God, I can't believe, is this guy really doing this? To, just utter disbelief to now I'm angry at him. I'm angry that someone would have the gall to do this. And we're living in a society. This is not how people in society should behave, Scott. Use the towel. Be a normal human being. Don't be a freak sideshow who dries himself off with hair dryers. You're making everyone around you uncomfortable, dude.
Jimmy,
it's weird.
Jimmy doesn't like the towels. Jimmy doesn't like how the towels feel on his body. Jimmy thinks that the towels are not soft enough for Jimmy's body. So Jimmy has to go and get the hair dryers. Jimmy likes the hair dryers. Jimmy likes to be dried with hot air on the body, likes the feeling of it. Jimmy does not like towels. Jimmy does not appreciate the laundry service of said gym because the towels come out and are scratchy. Jimmy doesn't like scratchy towels. Jimmy loves the hot air blowing on his body to dry the water and make it run down in a more natural way. Jimmy does not like these towels. The towels are a problem. Jimmy says, fix the towels, and I'll use the towels.
That might be a situation. I don't know if this guy's name is Jimmy, but it's a safe bet.
Look, this is a Seinfeld episode. This is exactly what this is. There's nobody in their right mind who goes to a gym and before leaving the gym takes two hair dryers. Are they on hot? Are they on high? Are they like, what's the temperature settings on these? Does he like scold himself to do it?
I mean, maybe he's one of
those guys who likes pain and has to like, I didn't work out hard enough.
He's a masochist.
So he needs to like, you know, how close are these hair dryers?
Very close.
Very
so
close.
They're provided by New York Sports Club.
Yeah.
Their hair dryers.
Does the grill on the hair dryer, is it red? Well, because some of them will get red and you could see the heat.
So I've not looked close enough at the hair dryer itself, but I have noticed his stomach and chest are red from this.
Unbelievable. Does he cup? Is he a cupper? Is he a guy that has suction cup marks all over his body? Is he one of those people?
I haven't inspected.
Does
his
he
body
have?
That
does
closely.
He have? Do you have? Does he have?
But you know what the weird thing
for,
is?
Like for what's it called? Acupuncture. Do you want that?
I think he's doing it for attention because he kind of like looks in the mirror and looks around like with a weird smile on his face.
Is he a is he a straight man? Is he trying to attract attention from the men? Like what's he doing? Is it purely for drying off? You need to ask him.
You think I do?
You absolutely do. You have no choice.
I'm afraid to talk to him.
You have to
honestly.
Talk to him. You have to find out why this is happening.
My best guess is he is like a late 40s, early 50s guy.
Oh, he's an older guy. This is not like I'm thinking in my head this is a guy in his 20s.
Oh, no. No one in their 20s would do this.
How do you know he hasn't been doing it for 20 years?
The weird people in the gym locker room are usually on the older side. Usually the old men just walk around naked. They sit on the benches naked. I'm like, that's how you get coronavirus, dude. But this guy is probably,
how you get general
I would say,
warts, not necessarily coronavirus.
Best case, 45, you know, my best guess is 45 to like 55, somewhere in that range.
All right.
Weird smirk on his face as he's blow drying his body dry.
Yeah. Weird smirk, like a I like it too much smirk.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to him.
You got to talk to him. You have to talk to him. Look, this is a guy that is.
What do I say?
You ask him, what is wrong with the towels? Why do you not? Is he wearing a towel around his waist while doing
he's
this?
He's wearing a towel around his waist.
So the towel is actually catching the drips of the water that is being blown. Because the water just doesn't all evaporate, right? It's getting pushed down as well.
I always, when I arrive at the gym, he's always at the point where he's blow drying his upper body, his torso.
So this guy's like a 4:30, 5 a.m. gym guy.
He's early. I don't know I don't know what he does for his lower body, if that's towel dry or if that's blow dry, but I'm just not there to see the lower body. Maybe he does the lower body second.
I mean, then stay longer. I don't know. You got to scout this better.
I am not staying any longer than I have to look at this freak show.
You have to now. We have to know what happens. I want to know the entire story about this guy. I want to know why maybe there's a reason why he's doing it. It's like he gets dermatitis.
Yeah, like what
or
if
something.
He what
he
if
gets
he
a,
tells
a contact
me
rash.
Exactly? What if he tells me that? Then I'm gonna feel bad.
Well, no, then you'll have an answer. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Good luck. And then I won't judge you by looking at you while you blow dry your body. Does he have a lot of body hair? Is it like? Does he look like a gorilla? Like
not much hair.
No.
No.
Man, I don't know. I would not be able to. My curiosity would not be able to just
let this happen without finding out something about it. I would have to ask.
I think you would see the situation, because also at that time in the morning,
like, why don't you just say you need a blow dryer? Like, yo, can I borrow your blow dryer? You know what I mean? Like,
I'm afraid this guy's going to be some code for like some weird sex club this guy's going to drag me to.
Well, I mean, then we'll have answers. You know, this is all about a sacrifice. Look, the people are going to want to know why this is going on too. So at this point, you'd now have to find out what's happening here. This is exactly why this segment was born. We need to find out what's happening. If he listens to this podcast, that makes life easy. If he's a big Yankee fan and listens, guy, if you're listening to the show, just tell Andrew next time you see him why you're using the blower. You know, there could be a very good reason. I just want to know. You know? I mean,
I just don't get the why people have to be so weird in locker rooms are naturally like in a situation where it's a little uncomfortable. Everyone's changing in front of one another. Like, keep your head down. Do what you need to do.
Go about your business.
Get in, get out.
Yeah.
Mind your own business. Don't be weird.
Right.
Don't be the weird guy.
Right. Maybe he doesn't think he's the weird guy.
How could he not?
Because maybe he thinks
he's
the weird
guy. Did you see that clip?
Maybe he's been doing this for years. Maybe he's just like, maybe he's the hairdresser blower guy that's been doing it for years, and you're the weird guy looking cross-eyed at him.
Who do you think the weird guy is in the Yankees clubhouse? Because did you see that clip yesterday of Noah Syndergaard throwing, I think he was just like throwing in like a backfield. All he was wearing was boxer briefs.
Yeah.
That's it.
It was a while ago. Yeah, I saw that. I saw one.
That was a while ago?
I saw one of him doing that a while ago. Maybe there's a new one that surfaced.
That tells me that Noah Syndergaard is the weird, uncomfortable, naked guy in the Mets clubhouse where he gets out of the shower.
Or he just gets out naked and just walks around
naked. He gets out naked, yeah. And instead of drying off and then putting clothes on, he walks around naked for 25 minutes.
Okay, yes. Yeah, he's fully comfortable.
Right. Who's the weird guy in the Yankees clubhouse who's just way too naked far too long?
Stanton. Easy. I mean, he does.
So it's a guy with like a big, like a good physique. He's proud to show.
I mean,
he was
in the body issue of ESPN. He clearly likes the way he looks. He likes to show it off. So he's probably also got some really weird particulars. I bet A-Rod was also that guy. But A-Rod
definitely.
I could see A-Rod being the guy drying off with hair dryer. He probably knows exactly why.
Maybe Stanton needs to implement the hair dryer thing. Loosen up the muscles. Get some heat on there. Loosen up the muscles.
Possibly. That could be a nice little solution. Maybe some heat-intensive exercises. But look, A-Rod was definitely the guy that did this. There's no doubt about it. A-Rod also shaved his entire body in front of everybody with no towel on.
Well, Roger Clemens used to have his trainer, well, I forget his name, who injected him with steroids all the time.
Brian McSomething. Mm-hmm.
He used to lather Roger up with Icy Hot.
Yes.
And Clemens would just scream before he would just get lathered up in Icy Hot and scream at the top of his lungs until he would like pop blood vessels. And then he would put his uniform on and go out to the mound.
That's awesome.
He threw a bat at Mike Piazza.
That is so great. So I think this guy, if he was screaming while he's blow drying himself, say, but he has to get dry in that way, but it just hurts. And he's screaming as he's doing it. I would love that too. There's a lot of things I really need to know about this guy. And you got to ask now. You have to.
Weird freaky guy at the gym is just a weird freaky guy at my local New York sports club. He's not Roger Clemens, one of the greatest starting pitchers in baseball history. If you're Roger Clemens, you can icy hot your entire body and scream at the top of your lungs. If you're weird freaky guy in the gym, put some clothes on after you dry off with the towel. Be normal.
How do you know this guy's not a world-class poet?
He could be
world-class at certain things. What if he plays the trumpet like Babe Ruth played baseball? How do you know?
Because no one knows a freaking trumpet player, because no one cares about a trumpet player.
No one knows.
Which means you cannot dry off with blow dryers.
Nobody knows Dizzy Gillespie. Look, how do you know that this guy, maybe he's like a permanent fill-in on jury duty for people. He makes fake IDs and goes in and does that. There's a number of things. You got to look, just get some intel on this guy. We need some more intel.
I'm too afraid to talk to him.
I expect a report next time.
Okay. That's it. Anything else you want to discuss? This is our last episode before we go to spring training.
Yep.
Couple heads up things. So check out all the social media. We're going to be doing a ton of content Follow the Instagram stories on Bronx Pinstripes. There's going to be a special video on the house that we're doing, sort of like a crib style video sponsored by Sailor Jerry. That'll be coming out. We're gonna, JJ's doing a stadium eats for Blue Point. I think he's going to be tasting the Pinstripe Pilsner, letting the people know how that is. We're going to have a crossover episode between Bronx Pinstripe Show and George's Box. So JJ and Nick have been going 4 or 5 episodes at this point. They've been crushing it. We're going to do a four-host connection, nice little rapport there. Four of us talking while we're in spring training. That episode will be a standalone episode coming out. Haven't decided when that's coming out. It'll be out probably while we're at spring training. So keep an eye out for that. I think that's
just
it.
Just in general,
party,
just,
like
there's
going to
be a lot of
the after party.
Yeah.
Yeah. I cannot wait for the weekend.
And then obviously
like we've been planned it for a long time and it's actually almost
the culmination will be at the March 14th game at the Big Stein with just shy of 200 people up in the bullpen club. Very excited for that. 187 people up there getting tickets, BP crew. Can't wait to see everybody. It's going to be a blast. See everybody in Tampa. See everybody in Tampa. Let's go.
You're like, no, yeah, it is Tampa. Get you guys next.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.